you, Lord. You turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 21. For to this you have been called. Isn't that a great way to start a verse out? For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on a tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd, capital S, and overseers, capital O, of your souls. I wanted to start out talking about sheep, because sheep are stubborn. I didn't grow up on a farm. I grew up in the suburbs, you know, with a case of beer in the basement. But sheep are stubborn, self-willed, proud, self-sufficient, that persist in pursuing old paths. Sheep have no sense of direction. A dog, a cat, or a horse, if lost, can find its way back. They seem to have an internal compass. Not so with sheep. To add to their pathetic state, sheep have poor eyesight. They cannot see 10 or 15 yards ahead of them. The sheep need a shepherd, someone to guide them. In your listening guide, you see our title of the message today is Our Need for Direction. Last week we talked about our need for contentment, because the word says godliness with contentment is great gain. But in your listening guide, I put our behavior patterns and life habits sometimes are so much like sheep, it can be embarrassing. Because at times, let me lay it out, we too are stubborn. We too are self-willed. We too are proud. We too are self-sufficient. We too at times have no sense of direction. We too at times cannot see ahead into the future. We too need a shepherd, someone to guide us. God is more than enough to meet our need for our direction. God leads us. He guides us. He directs us in paths of righteousness, literally in the right path. Today, if we thought about David, King David from the Old Testament, he would probably say, he keeps me on track. It's easy to get off track in life. And you're listening, God, I put, it's easy to wander off into the dangerous situations, to venture down the path of destruction, to meander into trouble. Anybody been in that path? Anybody meander down into trouble? Anybody venture down the path of destruction? We need a guide. That's why I'm here today to tell you. We need a guide to steer us, to keep us clear of danger and keep us on the right path. We also need to understand the following first point. God's desire is that we pursue the guide more than guidance, and put a capital G on that guide. In seeking God and His plan and His will, He'll be revealed to us. But the most important principle in discovering God's will for your life is to seek God above all else. One verse, Psalm 23:3, David says, He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Let's read this together. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. So in that verse, the He is God. He's the good shepherd. The guide is not an it, or it's not a thing. The guide is our loving Father, the good shepherd. God's guidance is relational. It is the guide, even more than guidance, who we need and want. If you think about it, if you moved into this community and you were new in the community and you really couldn't locate a certain destination, what would you rather prefer? A bundle of maps from some welcome wagon, or a scribbled note from someone on the phone trying to explain to you how to get to Five Guys? or a neighbor who says, look, I'm on my way there now. I'll go with you and show you the way. That's what God promises for us. We may seek guidance, but God provides something better, Himself. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? Himself. The Good Shepherd who leads us and guides us and directs us. God directs relationally. I truly believe that. Point number two, God's guidance concerns Himself more with the present than the future. His guiding concerns Himself more with the present than the future. Asking, what is the will of God for my life, may be the wrong question. We usually have in mind some decision we must make regarding the future about which we're uncertain. But the will of God, I truly believe, has to do less with the future and more with the present. I remember years ago, it's probably 14, 15 years ago, I was at a men's retreat in my old church, Christian Fellowship Church, and I was rooming with a guy, and after the service was over and all the events and activities were over, we were in our room, and he asked me the question, Nick, I don't know what God's will for my life is. And my immediately response to him was, your relationship with God, that's got to be number one. You know, you growing in your relationship with God and you know, loving Him with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then I said, next, I really think the will of God for you is to love your wife like Christ loved the church. And third would probably be to raise your kids in the way they should go, that when they get old, they won't depart from us, the Word says. And then fourth, I said, work hard. Work hard where God has called you and placed you to work to provide for your family and for your children. And then fifth, I would say, go and share the gospel. That's got to be it. That's what God wants us to do, and that's why we're doing this series, and that's why I've invited Keith and Talia Comer, Pastor Keith, to come for the next two Wednesday nights and talk to us and share with us, because we want to take that fear away from sharing Christ with maybe people in your family, maybe with your spouse, maybe with your neighbors, maybe at work, maybe in people God brings in your path. That's so important. Listen, we may know what in precise terms what God wants us to do in the future. God is much more concerned about the present. That's why David wrote, He guides me in paths of righteousness. And the word guide, some versions use the word lead me in paths of righteousness. It's a present active verb. Think about it. Yes, God has led me. That's past tense. Yes, God will lead me. That's future tense. But at the emphasis of this verse, I truly believe that God guides me and leads me now. Now, December 3rd, 2017, it's a present tense. So we may have difficulty, I put this in your listening, God, discovering the will of God for our lives, because we must understand the biblical concept of time. God dwells in eternity. He is therefore not bound by time. There's no past or future to God. All times are present to Him, but we are bound by time. There is a past of our experience, just as there is a future. And you're listening, God, I truly believe this. We carry the past with us in the form of consequences of the decisions that we have no power to change. Think about it. We can't change the past. We anticipate a future as a range of possibilities that may or may not be realized. But we can only live in the present. And if we associate with the will of God with a bad decision we made in the past, we become preoccupied with the past and live with regrets. And I would call that the if-only syndrome. If only I hadn't done that, or if only I haven't said that, or only if I got caught up in that. But if we associate with the will of God with the decision we must make in the future, we're going to become preoccupied with the future and live in the anxiety of the what-if syndrome. But if we associate the will of God with decisions we can make in the present, right now, today, we'll be empowered to do the will of God we already know, which I believe is the yes, Lord attitude. Yes, Lord. I'm going to love my wife like Christ loved the church. Yes, Lord, I'm going to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yes, Lord, I'm going to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for that yes, Lord attitude, that I'm going to live my life for you every day, that I'm going to surrender my will to you and go for your good and pleasing and perfect will. So if we would learn to direct our energies into the now, what is more, we will receive grace for the past. Isn't that beautiful? And we'll experience the peace of God concerning the future. Think about it. If we're living now in the presence, if we're living for God for now, we're going to receive grace for those past decisions that we made that might not have been good, might not have been godly. And we'll experience that peace of God concerning the future. And you're listening, God, I have this blue sheet in here, and you can see, because when I said peace, I thought about next week's message is our need for peace. But you'll see the list of messages the next few weeks. And then I thought, hey, I'll tell you what kind of Christmas music I listen to. If you're looking for some good Christmas music, I definitely would recommend those four CDs I have on the back there, man. I look for Amber Sabia Greatest Hits, but it's not on a CD yet. But I'm going to vote for one, praise God. Point number three, God's guidance has less to do with geography and more to do with character. Think about it. David writes, he leads me along the right path. And that phrase, right path, means that the way that is right before God and before men. God is more concerned with our character than our comfort. He wants us to be right and do right. He wants us to be pure. He wants us to be holy and clean. His supreme plan for us is to be like His Son. And He can accomplish that plan whether we're living in Montreal or Miami, whether we graduated from Wheaton College or Ohio State, married to or Sue, if you're working for GE or UPS. His supreme plan for us and wherever we are is to be like His Son. In other words, it's better we make a mistake about geography than about our character. God has more at stake with us doing His will than we do. Think about it. Notice the last phrase in Psalm 23:3. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. For whose name's sake? God's. And we often want to know and do God's will for our sake. Knowing God's will, we think will make us happy, cause us to be blessed, give us provision. But God says, I want you to know and do my will for my sake. It makes all the difference. Need I remind you, I talked about sheep in the beginning. Sheep exist for the benefit of the shepherd. Sheep are expected to produce a profit for the shepherd. The shepherd took care of the sheep, not just for the sheep's benefit, but for the sheep's desire. My hero, Tony Evans, wrote this. One of the things I love for my wife to cook over the holidays is the 7-Up cake. Anybody ever heard of 7-Up cake? Yeah, praise God. He went on to talk about all the ingredients of the cake. He went on to say that when the cake comes out of the oven, I could be in the back bedroom far from the kitchen, but when I smell that cake, somehow I get levitated into the kitchen. My wife takes all the things, mixes them together, and it comes out finger-licking good. And God's just not cooking us when we feel the heat. He's not just raising the temperature of our circumstances in order to make us suffer. He's up to something. He's taking that random pieces of our lives and making something good out of it. We need to know that our problem will be used of God. We need to know that our disappointments are going to be used by God. We need to know that our pain is going to be used of God. We must believe that the doctor's report is going to be used by God. We know these things not because we can prove it, but because we know Him. But because we know Him, we must believe that He's after our good, and that all of our life circumstances will work together accordingly. God's reputation is at stake by the way his followers live. Think about it. His reputation is at stake by the way we live. That's our testimony. We are his hands and his feet in the world. We're in his ambassadors. We represent God to a watching world. And maybe that's what the next two Wednesday nights are about. That God is using this couple, this young couple, to pour into us what it looks like to give our testimony. What it looks like to pray with someone to receive Christ. What it looks like to change, that God would use us, his sheep, to make a difference in someone else's life by sharing the gospel for them. Because when we fail to live righteously, we are hurt, but the name of God is hurt more. When we fail to take God's lead, we're damaged, but the reputation of our God is hurt greater. I want to close with these verses, but I want us to read them together, and I want us to think about the three statements today. God's desire is that we pursue the guide more than guidance. God's guidance concerns itself more with the present than the future. God's guidance has less to do with geography and more to do with character. If the band wants to come forward and the ushers, let's read these verses together. You got them, Jason? Thank you so much. Psalm 5:8. Let's read them together. O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. Psalm 31:3, for you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. Proverbs 8:20, I walk in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. Proverbs 8, the last one, 32 through 36. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is a man who listens to me and watches daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Come on forward, ushers. Father, thank you for your word today, Lord. We get our direction from your word. We get our direction, our marching orders from your Holy Spirit, who takes the word of God and makes it alive in us. Father, when we bend our knee and receive you into our heart and ask you to forgive us of our sins, your word literally says that you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, makes their home within our hearts, Father. And I want nothing else but them to be pounding our hearts with your word and your love and your grace and your mercy and your marching orders. Father, help us to realize that we want to love you and love others and live missionally. We want to know what the gospel is and be able to share that with people that you put in our path, Father. And you taught us how to do that. You told us to gather together. You told us to grow together. And you told us to go together. So, Father, right now we want to open up these altars and we're going to close. And then we're going to have Talia come up and talk to us about the next two Wednesday nights. But, Father, I pray that you bless our offering now. Bless the givers, Father. Help us to understand what it means to sacrifice for you and what it means to give of the first fruits to you and your glory. This is our storehouse. You call the church the storehouse where we come and bring those first fruits that we can use them for your glory, Father. To have this church here, Father, we have this building we're blessed with, to help each other grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but then to learn how to go out into the community, invite those to the wedding feast. Father, we're in a feast right now because we get to praise you and we get to thank you and we get to give to you and we get to be about your good and pleasing and perfect will, Father. So let us live those blameless lives before you, Father. Let us be the sheep that hear your voice and understand what you have for us, Father. Give us that hunger for your word, Lord. Give us a hunger for your word in 2018 if we would want nothing else but to open up the word every day and allow the Holy Spirit to make it come alive to us, Father. I give you the glory today. In Jesus' name, amen.